Melissa's ministry, Heartfield Ministries, it really is incredible. If you've ever met her, she's so tender and she's so kind, but she's also fearless in the spirit. And she took us before to Park Blocks, probably one of the worst parts of downtown Portland. And she's like, we're just going to go and we're going to preach the gospel and hand out socks. And in my mind, I'm like, I do not want to go to Park Blocks. But if Melissa's saying we're going, I can't be the one to be like, no, I'm afraid to go. But when we went, just starting with passing out hats and socks, we actually saw people give their life to Jesus, people set free from demonic oppression. Someone had 7 herniated discs in their back, and they were healed just right there on the spot. And all the while, there are drug sales going on around us. There are fights breaking out. And it was weird. Talking to this guy, I feel like I don't know if he's genuine or if he's setting me up to get mugged. That's just like how it felt. But in the middle of all of that, her ministry just made place for God to show up and do something radical. Like hearing someone 31 days clean from heroin addiction that started with a practical need of socks and clothing, man, praise God. So now on to what I want to talk about today. So we're going to keep continuing the series of Game Changers, and we're going to talk about harmony. And when Pastor asked me to preach on this message, I was honestly like, I don't really know what harmony is in the context of the Bible. And maybe you're like me, I thought harmony and unity were the same things. They were just synonyms of each other. What I found studying the word, they're actually not. They're actually completely separate things, but they are interconnected. And for the sake of teaching this morning, I want to just start with what is unity and what is harmony. So I have definitions up here. This is how my mind works. I'm essentially going to take you through how I work through things, and I'm hoping to show you the what, the why, and the how of harmony. So first, the what. Unity is the state of being undivided, the quality of being made one, and it is a condition of harmony. We value unity tremendously in this house. We will protect it at all costs. If you want to know one word outside of like the given Jesus for what we're about, I would say unity is one of those core tenets. But harmony, on the other hand, is a pleasing arrangement of different parts. It's the interweaving of different accounts into a single narrative, and it's peaceful agreement void of selfishness. And so what this shows me is that harmony takes what would be separate pieces and brings them together for one purpose. And we actually saw harmony in play this morning. So when you saw John doing his thing on guitar, Desiree on keys, Megan, which now she plays like every instrument. She's just good at everything she touches. And you have Mark on bass and Joe on drums. You notice they're not all playing the same exact thing. They're all doing their own unique parts, but there's one sound. It doesn't feel divided. It's actually pleasing. And we actually can join in and clap. When you think about how many different things are happening at once and there's a unified sound, that's what harmony is. But here's what can happen when you have really talented musicians, really anointed and gifted people. It takes a lot of self-control and restraint to not just take over. Because any of these people at any time could just say, you know what? Like, let's take Joe, for instance. Crazy good drummer. If he's just like, I think this song needs to be faster, and he just doubles the speed, all of a sudden everybody else is going to be like, what is going on? Our attention's going to be drawn to him. And Joe could say, everybody else is off. I'm the one that's right. You guys should adapt to me. But really, you would see that that's division. That's disunity. That's right. And so harmony actually takes self-control and restraint to look at the bigger picture, the purpose, and to say, I'm going to find my place, and I'm going to be okay with that. Because it'd be really easy to come into a church service and to say, you know what? I don't like the color of the chairs. I think the chairs should be black. And you write Pam a letter saying revival will come when the chairs are black. And this was crazy. I found a local ministry. Yeah, there's black chairs in the fellowship hall, so there you go. We're covered. I found a local ministry that had a 1-star review on Google, and the person who wrote it left the church because the walls were painted black in the sanctuary. And they were like, it is demonic. God will not move when the walls are painted black. It makes my soul feel terrible. And I'm just like, man, that's like, we have a lot of black stuff in here. Like, if you come in and you're like, man, that is what's keeping me from Jesus and from being in fellowship, I would say it's not the paint that's the problem. I would say maybe there's something going on inside. Because there's been times where I've come into an environment and I've said, I would say that differently. I would have sang that song in a different key. Maybe I would have had, like, I wouldn't have had the track as the background for the image. I would have had a football field, or the lights should have been red. You know, this is just something about our nature where sometimes we just want to criticize and we just think that we're God and we see everything and we know exactly what how things are supposed to be. But what harmony does, it actually says, you know what, we're going to put all that aside and we're just going to focus on a single purpose. And do you guys, I already said it, but do you know what the word of the year is? Purpose. Okay, Pastor Carlos knows, So I want us to read this out loud together, the verse of the year. So Proverbs 19:21, all together. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So sometimes we can come into an environment and we have plans in our heart, but the word tells us that it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And harmony is saying, Lord, I'm actually going to lay my own plans down and I'm going to see your purpose prevail. And sometimes it means things aren't going to go your way, but really that's an okay thing, because if it's the Lord's way, we know it's going to work out. So that is the what for harmony. And now I want to show you why is harmony a game changer. In Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting." There's this section is so full, but I want to focus on one thing in particular, where it says that harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head. In the Old Testament, Aaron and the priests were not allowed to minister first to the Lord and then to the people. There was a lot of things that had to happen, and one of those was that they had to be anointed with oil. And in this case, oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what you're seeing is that until Aaron had the touch of God, until he had the anointing of God, he actually wasn't allowed to minister. And so we're seeing here that harmony is as precious as that okay from God to minister. Sometimes I've come in and I'm like, I'm going to do things on my own strength. And I'm going to do things my way. I want people to see me. And that's really stopping the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you're really ministering on your own strength. And I know for me, I can maybe help you with some computer stuff, that's maybe as much as I can help you in terms of ministry, but that's not going to do anybody's soul any good. But when we say, you know what, I'm going to choose to live in harmony, it's like God is putting his anointing on you, and he's saying, now you can minister to me and to my heart first and also to my people. And so when Lord says it's wonderful and pleasant when we live together in harmony, we better figure out how do we actually do that. So now what I want to do, I want to get into the how of harmony. So the first thing is this: harmony promotes and protects unity. The enemy knows that a divided house can't stand. And what he wants to do, the enemy will get us to divide about anything and everything. And if it's something silly like the carpet, or if it's something bigger, like maybe doctrine or something we've read in the Word, if he can get us to divide, he's happy. He doesn't care how it comes. But what harmony does is harmony actually combats that, and it draws us closer together and it promotes unity. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So when we're thinking about the same mind, the same thing, and the same judgment, that's a really high standard. But we see that the condition of that is that there's no divisions among us and that we're perfectly joined together. So the question shouldn't be, how is that possible? It's like, how do we actually live that out? Regardless of the high standard, if we know that there will be no divisions, if we have that standard of harmony in our lives, we should pursue that. In the New Living Translation of the same verse, it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this phrase down. Agreement in the greater things extinguishes divisions about the lesser things. Agreement in the greater things extinguishes divisions about the lesser things. So I have a little pop quiz for you. Is there division in heaven? There's none. So my question is, why do we tolerate it here? Because if we would say there's no division in heaven, why do we just say this is just the way things are? There's just division in the church. There's division in our world. There's terrible things that happen in our world every day. And sometimes we just say, well, because we're part of the world, it's just okay. It's just how the church is going to run. But when we look at the model in heaven, we can see division is not accepted. And so we should say, we're actually not going to accept it here. I don't know if you're like me. I love history. I will fall asleep watching like History Channel and all that stuff. Keely does fall asleep watching history, but it's not like comforting like it is for me. It's just boring to her. But in church history, it's really interesting because there have been divisions in a church. So imagine we just drew a line down the middle of this room, and half of you are going to go to a new church called West River. The other half are going to go to a church called North River, all right? And the reason we separate is because this half believes that you should be baptized going forward, and this half believes that you should be baptized going backwards. And it's irreconcilable. You just say, we cannot fellowship together at all. Like, you guys don't know the word because you want to go forwards. You guys don't know the word because you want to go backwards. But you actually don't read that at all in Scripture. I was baptized in a horse trough. I mean, you don't need the fancy warm water. You don't need anything. But it's like, why would we choose as a church, not this expression, East River, but globally as a church, why would we choose to separate over something really as minimal as that? That's a lesser thing. And what I found is when we focus on the purpose of the church, when we focus on Jesus and the cross, all that stuff just starts to fade away. I want to tell on myself a little bit. Keely and I love worship music. It's funny, we were driving up from California once and she's fast asleep in the car. And there's one song in particular, when it comes on, she will wake up and start worshiping just right there in the car, no matter if she's been asleep for hours or minutes. And so the song comes on and she starts worshiping in the car. And I'm just like, all right, you know, bless her heart. I don't know how she's so sensitive to the Lord that even in her sleep, she'll wake up and praise him. But we watch worship sets all the time. And there's one worship set where we heard this really simple song and we just loved it. We did some research and we found out who originally sang the song. And it was this, I'll just say his name, is this guy. His name is Kevin Prosh. I think I got it. There we go. All right, so it was this guy named Kevin Prosh, and it was this song, Praise the Lord. And so we're watching the original video when this song came out. And I'm going to just step back into my old frame of mind and how I thought about it. I thought it was awkward and bizarre. I'm going to be honest. It was just this, what I thought was like kind of a cringy 1990s conference. It just felt super awkward. And at one point, he pulls out a conch shell, and he's leading worship playing a conch shell. And I'm just like, this is so weird. And so Keely and I kind of made it a joke between us. We brought Pastor Steven. We brought Megan and Caitlin and Melissa. We brought all these people in on this joke. And Keely and I were in a year-long leadership development program, and we're hearing the person who's running the whole program that we look up to for a year of our life, kind of by proxy, he was discipling us. And we're listening to him talk about this conference, and in particular, the session of the conference that he was at, where the Lord spoke to him mightily about being in ministry, and it marked his life forever. And when he's describing it, I'm like, oh no. That's the set with the conch shell. And he just starts like, I mean, he could not have lifted a service any higher. And I'm like, please stop. This is just like torturous for me right now. And I was like, Lord, I am so sorry that I ever spoke about. I mean, I thought it was crazy, but I'm like, Lord, if you moved, okay, you moved. Then what kept happening is all over social media, these worship leaders we look up to start pulling out cassette tapes of Kevin Prosh. And they're saying, I'm in worship today because of this cassette tape and because of the anointing on his life. I'm like, no, please stop. It was like God was like smacking me around. And what that taught me is that really criticizing other ministries is demonic. It's so wrong, because who am I to say, like, if God said pull out a conch shell, we're going to find out really quickly if it's God or not. And in my mind, it wasn't. And I was so quick to say that's wrong. But in reality, I'm watching a video on YouTube. I wasn't there. I wasn't even following Jesus then. But the way that God showed up, regardless of that, is really, you can't deny it. And so we actually made a resolve. We bought a conch shell at Cannon Beach, and we keep it in our room just as a reminder to never go there again, because all it takes is him slapping me around once, and I'm like, never again. That was not an enjoyable experience. But in Romans 15, verses 5 through 7, I think this helps flesh this out a little more. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. When we say we are going to live in harmony with each other for the sole purpose of being in harmony with Jesus and glorifying him, all of those little things like conch shells and how do you get baptized and just every detail you could imagine, that all goes away. So the second thing is this: harmony is not the same as uniformity. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 5, it reads, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We all understand that our human body is made up of many different and individual parts. And I love this verse because it takes that example in creation and it applies it to the church. I'm saying we wouldn't ever tell someone, you have too many diverse parts. There's something wrong with your body. Like, that's the way your body is created. So when it comes to the body of Christ, we should expect diversity. We should expect that we're not all going to look exactly the same. I like to say that there's no copies at the cross, because I would make a really terrible Pastor Carlos. It would be awkward, and none of you would want to be around me. You'd just be like, why is he always trying to mimic him? It's just creepy. But I make a really good Chase. And in the same way, you're going to make a terrible Chase, but you're going to make an amazing you. And diversity is actually a good thing, but disunity is not. But there's some things we cannot be diverse about, like the word. We can't be diverse about the word. We need to just say, the word is going to speak for itself. Not my professor said, or Wesley said, or this YouTube person said. We need to say, what does God say? Not, what are my personal convictions? What is the Holy Spirit's convictions? And God is actually diverse. When you think about it, he's three in one. Perfect unity, but perfect harmony and diversity at the same time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, it reads, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So here you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all having their own unique roles in the Trinity, but they're in perfect harmony that promotes unity. And it amazes me that in that same way, God is saying, we're going to look different from each other. We're going to speak differently. We're going to be used differently, but it's all going to be for the same purpose. Because, like, think about this. God gave Melissa Anderson a ministry to go to downtown Portland and to share the gospel through sharing socks and through gifting those. Imagine if you were to say, I like that, I'm going to go start my own ministry. I'm going to call it Heart Fields Ministry, make it plural. You're actually going to do a disservice to the body because you're trying to be someone else. And so sometimes I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes I see people platformed and I say, I like that. I want to be like that. And then I find that I'm doing things on my own strength. I'm trying to be someone who I'm not. But the beauty of that is that we can actually be who God created us to be. But in Romans 15, verse 7, we do have permission to be who God created us to be uniquely. But this is the one condition of it. It says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Really briefly, I want to share a story about how I saw this play out in my own life. Pastor Daniel, our young adults pastor, and myself, we were invited to speak at Camp Tadmore. It's a summer camp in Lebanon, Oregon. Our men go there for the men's retreat, but we rent out the place. And so we're all excited, and it was like a process. We had to send sermons. They had to listen to it, give us feedback, and have like a phone interview. It was this whole big thing. And for me, I'm just used to the way we do things. So I'm like, why do I have to like send all this stuff and go through this process? And when we're there, I kept seeing CB Northwest everywhere. I'm like, what is CB Northwest? So we look it up. It's Conservative Baptist Northwest. And I was like, how amazing is it that Conservative Baptists invited two charismatic preachers to come and speak at their summer camp? And what amazed me is it was this. They saw an anointing and a gifting, and they said, we're going to welcome you regardless of differences. I actually talked on the phone with the person who runs the whole summer camp, and we talked very plainly about the differences between what they believe and what we believe, kind of almost that dividing line. But the beauty of it is it wasn't, I need to prove you right. I need to show that you're wrong. We're just speaking from the word, speaking to each other as brothers. And we're like, you know what we can agree on? Actually, a lot. Probably 95% of our faith. And it's like, we're going to focus on that. And for Pastor Daniel and myself, we could have come in and be like, we're just going to be charismatic firebombs. We're just going to go for it. But what we actually did is, in harmony, we were actually like, you know what? We're going to honor this denomination, but we're also going to, first, we're going to honor the word of God. And I just spoke from the word, and I'm like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to honor you, but I'm also going to honor the people that are around me. I don't need to be right. I just need to lift high your name. And what I found that's so amazing is we had a lot more in common than I actually expected. But when we welcomed each other, something beautiful took place. So my last point is this. Harmony is maintained in Christ-centered community. So we see that harmony protects or promotes and protects unity. Harmony is not the same as uniformity. And harmony is maintained in Christ-centered community. Living in harmony, it's an intentional decision that you have to make every single day. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be difficult. Living in harmony is not easy. There's a lot of denial of self that takes place. But the Lord's purpose for his church is really realized through harmony. Again, looking at Romans 15, verses 5 through 7, it says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. When we read that we have to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, it makes me think this. First, we have to have Jesus as our center. If he's not our center, this is really just like a social club. We're no different than the Elks. If you're part of the Elks, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like point it out. But really, like, if Jesus isn't our center, then why are we gathering? Thousands of people are going to the coast this weekend. Like, why would we not? We were at the coast last Monday. It was so beautiful. Like, we could all be in the sun enjoying it, but instead we're saying, you know what? We're going to come together because Jesus is worth it. He's our center. And then we can go have our fun and all of that. But when we put Jesus as our center, it makes it a lot easier to live in harmony. Because if we just say, you know what? I'm coming here for my friend group, or I'm coming here for the music, or I'm coming here for the muffins, if that's your thing, right? Whatever you come here for, you're going to have a hard time once the muffins are gone. You're going to be like, I'm leaving this church. That's it. Or if you get in a disagreement with somebody, all of a sudden the one reason you were here, there's tension. You can say let me tell myself again. I had this problem where whenever a job got hard, I would quit. Like day of, no warning, quit. I'm different now. I've worked here for many years. But in my mind, this is how it worked. I was like, there's so many jobs out there. I don't need to put up with this. My one thing keeping me there was a paycheck. And so when I'm like, I can get a paycheck somewhere else and not have to deal with this person that I don't like, I would just literally in the middle of my shift sometimes leave. This was before Jesus, I'm going to be honest. Because after Jesus, I'm like, that is so wrong because I don't want the name of Jesus to be tarnished by my, I don't know, internal insecurities or whatever was going on. But I'm going to be honest, even being on staff at a church, there's times where I'm like, I'm just going to move to Hawaii. I'm just going to move somewhere else, just not deal with anybody, right? But when I have to take my eyes off of conflict and problems, and a lot of times it's just the junk in my own life, and I have to focus on the cross and the purpose and say, no, Lord, like, I'm actually going to stay in community with people and work things out. And the biggest breakthroughs I've had have come from just sticking it out and being honest about things. Because there's something about when you say, we're brothers and sisters for Christ, like we're spending all of eternity together. Let's just figure this out now, because I don't want to go 70 years and then see you in heaven and then be like, well, you know, we never took care of it there. But now in heaven, we're going to be so focused on Jesus, none of that's going to matter. So let's just start figuring that out right now. But sometimes I've wondered, why do we have to live in community? I actually really love being around people, but sometimes I'm just like, I need to just be around nobody. Has anyone else ever felt like that? Where you're like, I just need to be alone. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. So in Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20, Jesus is speaking, and he says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So when I read this, I'm like, why two or three? Why can't Jesus just say, whenever you want something, it's going to be done for you? You don't have to be around people. I'm going to be right there with you. He's always present with us. He dwells within us. But you see that there's a greater measure of his presence that comes when we're living together, when we are actually meeting together for his namesake. And if the piano's not on, will you make sure it's on? I want to show you something. Don't get too excited. I'm not going to like be like Desiree here. I'm just going to keep going until it's on. There we go. Okay. So we understand this is a note. I mean, it sounds really nice, especially with the pad underneath it. But sometimes we just say that's how we want to live. We don't want to live in community. We just want that single note. But there's actually not harmony. In musical terms, harmony is when you have multiple notes that come together and it's a pleasing sound. And we understand it and we celebrate it like when you just have like oh, that sounds so wonderful, right? And think about this. Individually, they're fine notes. But when they come together, something actually changes and there's a greater sound. Now, if I were just to go, you can feel the disconnect there. And you're like, that wasn't right. And so when you actually have Jesus as your center, you can really quickly spot disharmony. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to take your focus to there and be like, see, that sounded terrible. And you can say, you know what? We're actually committed to each other. So we're actually going to go from that place of tension back to that place of peace and harmony. And that's why I think before we even had words for it, Jesus was talking about two or three being gathered in his name, because there's just, you feel just a greater sense of beauty from the piano, but an even greater sense of his presence when we're doing this together. So I want to just recap the points that I've made, and then I want to challenge you with a commitment. So Desiree, if you would come up, she's going to close us in worship at the end. It's just going to be a wonderful time to glorify God together. But my points were this. First, harmony promotes and protects unity. Second, harmony is not the same as uniformity. And third, harmony is maintained in Christ-centered community. And when we understand that unity comes from harmony, we have to make a resolve to live in harmony and to live in community. In Ephesians 4:3, in the Amplified Classic Version, it says, "Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace." Where it says the binding power, it's like a word that would be used in medical dictionaries to talk about how ligaments hold your body together. If that didn't happen, your arm would just fall off. So thank God that we have ligaments that hold us together. And so when we're thinking about the body, there has to be this binding power that holds us together. And it is really clear. It says it's the binding power of peace. And peace isn't just the absence of conflict. Peace is actually a course of life that promotes harmony. And so when you say, I'm going to live in such a way that harmony is the goal, to glorify Jesus, that's when we're going to be brought together perfectly. And that means that you're going to have to be all right with putting aside bitterness and jealousy and envy and a desire to be seen and known and applauded and handed a microphone and having things your way. Sometimes it's going to be as little as like being okay with there not being gluten-free snacks. And you've just got to get over that offense in your life. Other times it's got to be something more serious where it's like, I feel that somebody really offended me. And you have to actually come together and you have to talk about this and be real with each other and say, let's figure out how to take care of this. Not go in veiled gossip, say, we need to pray about so-and-so because like we've got to put all that aside and actually choose to live the way God intended us to live. So if you would say, in my heart today, I want to live in such a way that I'm going to be eager and strive earnestly to keep harmony. What I want you to do is I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for all of us here, and then we're going to worship the Lord together. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've laid out for us the course of living in harmony. Lord, we don't come saying it's going to be easy, but we come saying it's going to be worth it, that you would be glorified. Lord, I ask that you would speak to every person here, even more than you already have, and show us what we need to lay down in our lives to promote harmony. Lord, even as we were singing with Pour Me Out earlier, Lord, would you come reconcile us? Would you erase all of the dividing lines? Would you bind us together in love and in peace? Lord, we just declare that we exist to glorify you and you alone. Lord, we're going to lay down our egos. We're going to lay down our differences, and we're just going to lift you high. We don't want to lift ourselves high. We want to lift you high. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody up. Let's worship.